Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Aaron Downtown Brown.
Hey,
Aaron, what's going on, my man?
Oh, what's going, man? Playoff excitement is definitely among us. I had fun. How about you?
I bet you I'd find my man. You're watching your Chiefs play against a nice South Florida team in minus 500 degree weather, and your team came out with a win. So of course you were having fun on Super Wild Card Weekend. So good for your Chiefs marching on. You know, they get another AFC East team this week in the Buffalo Bills that should, I think, pose a little bit more of a challenge. And how you feeling about your boy Mahomes having to take his show on the road in the postseason for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it's always exciting, the Chiefs-Bills matchups. And I know we've kind of seen in recent history, especially in the playoffs. I'm excited for it. I'm kind of happy the Chiefs played in the first round. I think they really needed to figure some things out on offense. And I was pretty happy with how they were playing. They didn't convert, you know, all their red zone trips, but still like to see them kind of turn around, and their defense is flying around too. So I think it should be another good game, regardless. So I usually don't try to say a whole lot of predictions with my team, especially in the playoffs at least. But yeah, definitely excited and anxious that maybe this time next week, coming off another win.
Yeah, I won't ask you to pick the game because I think we know what side of that you'd be on rooting for your Chiefs. It's kind of crazy that it's been so long since they've played a real playoff game. They've actually played 17 consecutive games in their home building in the playoffs, or on a neutral field. So the stat is, you know, 17 games that they have not played a road playoff game. If you count those Super Bowls in there too, so. Definitely good times in Kansas City. Hopefully for your sake, they can keep rolling. But we'll see. Buffalo should give them a game for sure. But we did have our daily fantasy picks, our usual show. We'll recap that in a moment here. But before we dive into this week's content, I just wanted to bring up some other stuff that we're working on here at Sunday Surefire. I was not on the podcast last week, but that doesn't mean I was slacking or not grinding for the show or for the brand. I started up again with our articles on our blog for the off season, dynasty season. You know, it's 24/7; it never ends. So a bulk of my work is going to be focused on the dynasty space, and I've already kind of started a dynasty decision series, focusing more so on players that are getting a little bit longer in the tooth, or guys that you're not sure exactly what to do with in dynasty. You're not going to see like someone like Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson in these write ups. Like they're good stung. Young wide receivers, like you don't need too much advice on them. If you have them, you should probably just keep them. But, you know, older guys like Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Terry McLaurin sneakily coming up on his age 29 season in 2024. So kind of just where those guys fit into the dynasty landscape right now, factoring in the rookie draft that's coming down the pike a little bit too, just to kind of see where those players all fit in. So make sure you're checking that out. They're posted all over our social media platforms. We're on X at @Sunday_Surefire, on Instagram at @SundaySurefire. And, you know, if you want to just go right to our website and see them as well, you can do that. It's sundaysurefire.com/blog. So I know Aaron's been helping post those articles too. So, Aaron, any quick thoughts on those before we start getting into the meat and potatoes of the divisional round daily fantasy show?
Definitely well-written articles. You know, I do have a hunch. So I do have a theory that I think you ran a few of them just to promote some of your players to trade to me.
Am I above doing something like that?
I wouldn't put it past you. That's my hunch there.
Yeah, you never know the motives behind putting the content out there, but no, it's a lot of fun to write up these players, and just kind of that age-old question of what to do with veterans in dynasty. You know, the easy thing to do is to say, oh, just sell them off for draft picks and recoup it. But, you know, if you're trying to win in 2024, you know, some of those running backs or even some of the receivers that are a little bit older, you know, they can still produce for you and help you squeeze out one more championship. So it's definitely a delicate balance, but I do my best to get both sides of the argument in those articles. So make sure you're checking them out again, sundaysurefire.com/blog for the direct access to those. But, you know, we did touch on the wild card stuff last weekend. So before we dive into divisional round this weekend, let's recap what we got right last week.
You like that? You
like that. And Aaron, let's start with you, my man. What do you got in the Told You So segment?
Yeah, with Told You So's here, kind of proud of Baker Mayfield. He was only 5,800 last week. I did call it on the show. He had a great chance to throw over 300 yards and get those additional three bonus points, which he did. He threw for 337, three tutties, and gave you 30 points in your lineup. So nice play there. And then St. Brown also gave you 21 points. So those were kind of my two main guys. I think I had them in almost every lineup and definitely helped you out there. So I would say those are my top two Told You So picks from last week.
Some solid choices as usual from our guy, Aaron Downtown Brown. You had a pretty good week too. Last week, I actually ended up coming away with the win in our head to head contest, went over 150 points last week, which was awesome. I was not on the show last week, so I won't take a big victory lap on the picks that I got right. Just trust that a lot of them did go well, and I picked up the first win in the playoffs for between the three of us. So I guess we won't spend too much time there. We'll go right into our bullish bias segment, and I'm actually going to piggyback off of a player that went off for you last week in the form of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm going back to the well with him, $8,200 playing at home against the Tampa Bay Bucks this Sunday. If you look at St. Brown, he scored 21 or more points each of his last five games. He's on an absolute tear, you know, stepping into the prime of his career. You know, he's been awesome this season. You know, he gets to go up against a pass defense this week that's ranked in the bottom third of the league against opposing wide receivers. And if you look at kind of the way that Tampa Bay is structured on defense, they've actually surrendered the fourth fewest rushing yards per game this season, meaning that if the Lions are going to move the ball this particular week, that they're likely going to have to do it through the air of the arm of Jared Goff. And so who better to get into my lineup than his favorite target in Amon-Ra St. Brown. So the moral of the story here, not overthinking it, that no one's been able to stop this guy. You know, he's on an absolute heater. And I don't think Tampa Bay on a short week with their secondary is going to be up to the task either. I think he's going to have a big day receiving and probably finds the end zone again in the divisional round. So that's where I got on St. Brown. Is he in your lineup too?
He oddly is not. I may get into that a little bit later, but I do like St. Brown. I think he's definitely a safe play just week in, week out. You know, whether we're talking the regular season or the playoffs. So I'm not going to knock St. Brown. He did not make my lineup this week, which is kind of odd, but not going to hate it there. But I guess I can move on to my guy, and maybe it might tell you the story why, because this guy's usually pretty expensive. I'm going 8,800 Christian McCaffrey. And yes, I said 8,800. That's under 9,000, which is actually pretty cheap for him. Who would have thought a value play at Christian McCaffrey? So I thought that was kind of odd. Anything under 9,000, the guy that's pretty much just, you know, putting 20 points on the board week in, week out, and coming off of a bye week, you know, so on top of it, a fresh Christian McCaffrey sounds pretty intimidating to me. And San Francisco are 9-point favorites against Green Bay this weekend. So I thought he was pretty safe. And yeah, like I said, he's just kind of pretty much a cheat code, as we say. So not going to say a whole bunch more beyond that.
100%, and I will not pile on with it. I'll just say he's not in my lineup. I went away from him. Kind of went a little bit more of a balanced approach in terms of filling my lineup out, but obviously I'm not going to say anything negative about Christian McCaffrey. How could you? So I'll just give you – actually, I have a bonus bullish buy in here that I'm going to bring up too. Without Ethan on the show, I guess it's good to give us three guys in this category. That's Mike Evans. So going back to this Buccaneers and Lions game, you know, as much as the Bucs have struggled to stop the pass, as I mentioned, the Lions are actually even worse. They give up the third most points to opposing wide receivers, whereas the Buccaneers are in the bottom third of the league. You know, just goes to show how bad this Detroit defense is in the secondary. So I look at this and I see what Puka Nacua did last week, you know, second breaking that rookie receiving yards record in a postseason game. And Evans is just one of those guys that is always one big play away from making a splash. And, you know, this guy, you never know when his last game in Tampa Bay is going to be. He's not under contract next season, and you get the feeling that he's going to want to have a big send-off here with a good, solid postseason run. Not just doing it for the fans in Tampa, of course, but looking towards another big payday. So I think a big playoff game would be huge for him, and I just think he's going to feast on this coverage that he's seeing on Sunday against the Lions. So Can't wait to get Evans fired up for this one. And I'm actually going to Stack City and getting Baker Mayfield into my lineup too. I know you rode that wave with him. And I'm going to ride it this week for $6,000. Just really banking on the fact that Detroit struggles to stop the pass.
You know, I really like that call, and I guess my reason is he's also in my lineup. Mike Evans was going to be my backup bullish buy as well. So, as we know, we don't always converse before the shows. And if you were going to say CMC, I was going to say Mike Evans. So, kind of funny that worked out like that as a bonus player. But yeah, definitely like Mike Evans. Didn't really need to do a whole lot as Tampa Bay. Kind of dominated last week against Philadelphia, but as you said, I think he should definitely be involved. And if it is a little bit of a tighter match than it was against the Eagles, he'll definitely be involved. So we know Detroit gives up a lot of space, and Evans can eat off of that. So definitely like the Evans call.
Yep, fire him up with confidence this week, folks. He's gonna smash in the divisional round for sure. But let's jump over here to our two deep segment where we talk about which defensive units that we like the most this week. And I'll just toss the ball to you, Aaron. Tell me who you like on defense in the divisional round.
You know, I'm gonna pull a strategy that we sometimes try to do is kind of just shoot from the hip approach. And I'm going with the cheapest defense of the week, and that's Tampa Bay again. Detroit has been a pretty hot team this year that they're going against, but I really like how Tampa Bay matches up against Detroit. As we know, Detroit kind of uses the run game to kind of open up the passes to St. Brown off of play action and all that. That stuff. But I think, as you mentioned, with Tampa Bay being third and well, midway third and fourth against the run this year against the running game, they have a good chance against Detroit here. They look great against Philadelphia that has a strong offensive line and also usually does well when they when their running game is working, right? But I think the biggest thing I wanted to zone in on over this matchup is how aggressive Tampa Bay is on their defense as well. So they're very blitz happy. I think we've seen that in recent years. Even the Super Bowl year with Brady, kind of, we saw Mahomes just running for his life. So I think they're trying that again. Definitely increasing their blitz rate. If they were to look back at the tape just a couple weeks ago when the Bears beat the Lions, the Bears blitzed the Lions 28% of the dropbacks that Goff had, and can you guess what Jared Goff's passer rating was against the Bears that game?
Tell me.
8.3 passer rating against the blitz. So I think if you really look at Goff's history, anytime he has a really heavy pressure, that's when he can kind of get flustered a little bit. So they are the cheapest defense of the week. I think, like I said, just shooting from the hip a little bit. I know Detroit's a good team, but I kind of like how they're matching up against Detroit this week. If they can stay aggressive, they might be able to force at least get, maybe 4 or 5 sacks and get a couple of turnovers. That's what you're really going for there, and hopefully that pays off there. So I went cheap with Tampa Bay this week.
Okay, yeah, I also went relatively cheap too, and I guess before I give you my pick, we typically don't advertise, just straight up shoot from the hip as a go-to strategy when it comes to fantasy football. But what I'll say about these playoff games is that there's only 8 teams left in the tournament, so there's only a handful of games going on. So they're in the regular season, we have a big slate of games to pick from, and you can kind of hone in on which teams are bad and which good units are going up against those bad offenses. And you can kind of dive into the statistics a little bit more and use those to back up your points. But at this point, there's only good teams left. So it's really hard to pin down exactly which defense you want to use against an opponent because, you never know who's going to have a good day at this time of year. And, there's no, like I said, there's no bad teams left in the field. So that's just something to keep in mind as you're setting your lineups here, that you shouldn't really overly stressed about using a defense that's lower down the pecking order. It worked out for me last week rolling with the Packers defense. They were the cheapest option on the slate, and they returned 13 points against the Cowboys. So, unfortunately, the only predictability in the playoffs is Dallas going home early, and they've already bowed out for the year. So
Yeah.
We can't rely on that. But I'm actually going to make a selection here, Aaron, that I know is going to make you very happy. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs defense going up against the Buffalo Bills for $2,700. And look, in the past, when these two teams have seen each other in the playoffs, they've had some real shootout games, and they've been really fun to watch, light up the scoreboard, especially for those people who like to bet the overs, like I know you and I do. So, but I actually think looking at this one, that's going to be a lower scoring affair than the previous iterations of these games, just because both defenses are better than they were in the past. I mean, both of these units are top four in the league in points allowed. We know Kansas City's offense isn't quite as potent as it has been in recent years. And Buffalo's offense has dialed it back a little bit too, not quite as pass happy, going for more of a run approach with James Cook under new coordinator, interim offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who took over in the middle of the season. So I also look at the Chiefs here, their defense, that they're pretty good in their own right too. That they finished second in the league in sacks, which is good for fantasy points. So if Allen does get behind the chains at all, has to stand back there and pass. I think Kansas City has the defenders to get up there and make his life difficult in the pocket. And just given the recent history of these teams, this should be one of the more intriguing games to watch. And I think I know you'd agree with that point, Aaron. So what do you think about your Chiefs defense going on the road?
Yeah, I mean, I went with them last week against Miami, against another pretty high-powered offense. I think, if you do just look how they performed all year, they do average about eight fantasy points per week, and that is mostly, as you mentioned, due to the fact they don't give up a lot of points and they get sacks. So those are just like straight points you can kind of count on your defense, especially defenses that get to the quarterback. So what we really like is when that compounds into turnovers too. So I know that's exactly what I'll be hoping for and wishing for. But Josh Allen has shown he's top scoring quarterback this year, but he also threw a lot of picks. So that's not a bad play. I went cheaper with Tampa Bay, but I think you made a great point with in the playoffs. I mean, even bad units step up in the playoffs too. So these are good defensive teams this year that we've seen as well. So I like it, obviously being a Chiefs fan. But yeah, I guess that's all I'm gonna say there.
Good. He kept the homerism to a minimum there, which is always good, especially while my home team, the Patriots, is trying to find a general manager over here, not getting ready for the playoffs like I've been accustomed to most of my life. So, but we won't spend any more time on them as we're talking playoff teams, and they don't deserve it. So let's jump into our pick six category. This is the segment where we talk about players that we believe are undervalued versus their current cost to put them into your lineup. So this is where you got to kind of make those tight budget calls and hopefully you get some production from. So let's just go to you, Aaron. What do you think this week here? Who's undervalued and who's your first pick six candidate for this week?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting segment. It's funny. I have two guys. The two guys I'm going to bring up tonight are my cheapest plays. They are obviously kind of shooting from the hip, as I said earlier. But I do have some hope for these guys. So my first one is only 3,400. I'm going John Mechie with the Houston Texans against Baltimore this week. So, kind of a name that I guess in the dynasty community we were familiar with. Didn't really have a whole lot of chances during the season. Kind of was outshined by Tank Dell, and Nico Collins and Noah Brown even. But now with injuries, Metri is right in the mix, being maybe the second or third wide receiver. But playing against Baltimore, they've shown you can't really run against them very well. So I think Stroud's going to have to just continue to open it up. I also think Schultz is going to have to chip a lot in the pass blocking game to kind of help protect Stroud. So I think what that kind of translates to is Stroud needs to hit his slot receiver in this game. So I think that's John Mechie. That's not really the Nico Collins type player. Yes, they're going to be looking for big plays to him, but I really do think that to move the ball down the field, Mechie's going to have to get involved. He did get targets last game, kind of emerging a little bit. It had a couple nice grabs too, as well. So I'm actually going pretty cheap, John Mechie, for only 3,400 this week.
Okay, that is definitely really cheap. Like the price point a lot. Finding these undervalued guys are huge, and and winning, you know, every week, but especially in the playoffs where there's a lot of high profile guys you want to smash in your lineup. So you do find times where you got to really, really cheap out. And I'll get to one of mine in a minute here. You know, Mechie did see a little bit of an uptick in his work to close the season. Saw 65% or more of the snaps in the final two regular season games of the season. You know, that one against Indy in week 18 was effectively a playoff game, you know, as the winner was going to win the division. So he has been playing more, which is good. Makes you feel a little bit better about banking on him. So I kind of like it for the price point to sneak it in there, but it's definitely a big risk. And I'll just talk about my cheapest bullish buy while we're on the topic of dirt cheap wide receivers. And I'm going again for the third time, I'm going back to this, this Tampa Bay and Detroit game, but I'm going David Moore, who's a receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks, just leaning into that leaky Lions secondary. And I know he doesn't play a ton of snaps or command a ton of targets, more that is, but I need cheap plays in this lineup, my man. I got St. Brown in there. I got Mike Evans in there, a couple other high-profile pieces too. So this is where I'm going to save money. He's broken some long touchdowns recently. So I'm really – what I'm doing here, admittedly, is just rolling the dice here to see if I can go ahead and get him to break one again in this matchup. Because at a price point of $3,300, I don't necessarily need a ton from him to feel great about it. So definitely going on a limb here with this one. I don't expect you to love it. I don't expect anybody to love it, but – sometimes you got to just sling those dice at the craps table, and that's what I'm doing here with David Moore.
That's funny. I think when he scored his big touchdown, I think in our group chat, I was like, hey, I remember liking David Moore back in Dynasty. I think I don't remember if it was just a waiver pickup or I tried to even trade for him back a few years back. But I thought he was kind of going to blow up, but here we are. He's like 29 years old, but still making big plays. And I think, you know, after that big touchdown, I did look at him. He's a big play receiver. I think he averaged like over 17 yards a catch, with the Seahawks actually. So, I'm not gonna say I love it, but he is kind of one of those boom or bust players, as you mentioned, where you kind of need it. And that I'm not going to argue with you too much because I'm doing the same strategy with two of my players in this category here. And I guess just while we're on this topic, as you mentioned, in the playoffs, if you want to try to win something big here, you know, I guess there's a couple different strategies. You can play it safe, try to just make a safe lineup all the way through, or you can throw in a couple gambling guys where if they break off and pop off for huge games, then you're kind of in the money, right? Or possibly big money. So for that reason, I'm not going to knock your more pick, but it is a little bit on the scary side. But like I said, I can't hate it too much because I'm going even cheaper than my Mechie pick. And brace yourself here. I'm going 3,000, another wide receiver. I'm actually going back to the well with Mecole Hardman again. So I was wrong in the fantasy, I guess, in the fantasy landscape last week. Hardman only came down with one catch, only gave you like 1 point last week. Or I think it was 0.9 points because it was only, I think it was one catch for 3 yards or something like that. But Hardman did get three bombs. He was part of the game plan. He actually was held on every single shot. So It was funny. I was on to something. They are getting him back involved, especially with Tony out and just trying to figure out a couple guys they want to count on in the playoffs. So I'm going back to Hardman, kind of that same strategy. I mean, it is going to be cold in Buffalo, but only 7 mile per hour winds. So shouldn't affect the deep ball too much this week as well. So I needed a gamble here as well. And Mecole Hardman, I'm going 2 weeks in a row. Hopefully he redeems himself with a big play.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy who's had big plays on his resume throughout his career, and you really are banking on one with him. And he was in my lineup last week too when he finished with less than 1 point. So I good on you for going back to the well and giving him another shot. So, but you know, we'll see how it goes. And I guess I don't have too much more to add on Mecole Hardman. His story is pretty well documented, but I want to pick up on something you were saying in between players here. And that, you know, these deep plays, whether it's Mechie, David Moore, Mecole Hardman, these are good tournament plays. Maybe not all three of them, but if you want to go cheap and sneak one into your lineup, it's a good idea because if you go chalk in a big tournament, like, yeah, if your studs go off, maybe you get the high floor and you sneak into the money here. But if you really want to grip it and rip it, you need these lesser known guys in your lineup too, and hope one of them pans out. And that's how you make those big jumps in these tournaments. Getting guys into your lineup for super cheap, like all three of these players. And when one of them goes off, that's where you make those big jumps, because you're then enabling yourself to get higher ticket items into your lineup, and those guys are going to give you those higher production games that are a little bit more predictable. So that's how you get ahead, is finding these really cheap players. And that's why this pick six segment that we do is so important. And I'm going to close it out here. This guy is a little bit more high profile than all the players we've talked about thus far. That's Odell Beckham Jr. against Houston for $4,600. And this is a guy that I know Ethan has soured on big time in Dynasty. I've soured on big time. When he and I started playing Dynasty, this guy was the lock, stock, and barrel number one overall asset, where if you had the number one pick in a startup, you had to draft him. He's certainly gone from taking the league by storm as a young player to a grizzled veteran. And the production, if we're just being honest, was not there towards the end of the season, but they gave him the week off in week 18. The Ravens had the bye on wild card weekend. So he's really just had a few weeks to get himself right for this game. The last time we saw Odell in the playoffs, he was crushing for the Rams in that Super Bowl prior to ripping up his knee. He's just one of the guys who always shines the brightest when the lights are on in these big stages. And this Ravens offense, they have a number of pass catchers that you need to account for. So it does not enable defenses to just kind of lock in on Odell Beckham Jr. And we know this Texans secondary has given up some big games. If you remember that Amari Cooper game from a few weeks ago, they will give it up through the air sometimes. So I'm rolling a little bit of a dice here with Odell, thinking that he's got one good playoff game left in him. And I'm going to bet that it comes this week at a cost of $4,600.
I really like that pick a lot, actually. I mean, I think he kind of let him down a little bit. He kind of flashes here and there during the season, but as you said, he is a big stage guy. I think he comes down with some pretty big grabs. Nice, maybe some key first downs, maybe even a big touchdown. So, I think you're definitely onto something with Odell. I know we didn't call him out too much this year, or why should we have, right? But I think this time in the playoffs, as you said, definitely a good time to call a guy like that out. Every team needs kind of that veteran guy that's kind of been there before, or either in the playoffs or kind of helped this team through a bunch of stuff. So I like Odell. I think you just gave me an idea to work him in one of my lineups after this.
Well, you're welcome. That's sometimes we give ourselves good advice here, and sometimes it's best to take advice from your co-host on the show. And yeah, that's all I can say about that. And maybe we could take some advice from each other in our hot take segment. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. And I know you're typically our hot take artist. So, well, while you were taking notes on Odell there, what should I be jotting down here in this segment for you, Mr. King of the Hot Take?
It's funny. I think I went, pretty heavy this year on prop bets this year. It's funny. I kind of hit pretty well. It just it's always that one leg that's off. I always get a one leg too greedy. But this week I'm actually gonna go back more on the just the normal betting side. I actually think two upsets are gonna happen this weekend. I kind of have a good feeling about Tampa Bay. I think they're really hot right now, and I really like how they match up against Detroit. So I say take the money line against Detroit. And if you really want to be risky, I say go with the Texans momentum against Baltimore. I think Baltimore really they could collapse at the wrong time, even though they've shown no signs of weakness this year. But I think, if you can get up on Baltimore and kind of force Lamar to kind of play from behind, that's always been kind of their weakness over there in Baltimore. When they're not playing either tied or from the lead, kind of a good chance of beating them. So I say those two, and then of course throw in the Mechie over in receptions for icing on the cake there.
Okay. On that Baltimore game, I totally agree with you. That's how you beat the Ravens, is you get them one dimensional in the passing game by getting up on them early. And who knows, maybe with them resting their starters in week 18, getting the bye last week, maybe they do come out a little bit rusty, and then If they do, maybe that home crowd turns on them a little bit and just kind of ramps up the pressure. We've seen that happen. I've seen it happen certainly as a Patriots fan, and in a few spots that come to mind. That Jets game back in 2010 where they blew the Jets out a few weeks earlier, and then they came to town and beat them. So these things can happen in the playoffs where it's one and done. You never know. But overall, I think Baltimore does find a way to win that game. I just think the Stroud story is going to come to an end here, at least on his rookie year. I really like him going forward, but I don't think they're going to win that game. I think the Ravens find a way to pull it off and host the AFC Championship game next week. But I did really like the first part of what you said there, that Tampa Bay going into Detroit and winning. And because that's actually part of my hot take here. That's one of the legs that I got in a parlay that I'm cooking up here. So Tampa Bay goes to Detroit, wins on the money line. I like the over in the game of 48.5 simply because neither team is really good at stopping the pass. So I think they're going to be points on the board in bunches there. And I like Baker to throw for 275 plus yards in this one. So the player props are not out quite yet. But if you do Tampa Bay money line and the over 48.5 on DraftKings, it gives you plus 450 odds. So if you tack on Baker going for 275 in there, you're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of at least plus 700 in a three-leg parlay. So make sure you're at least giving that a look when you're setting those bet slips in on Sunday. So that's what I got for a hot take, Aaron. What do you think about that?
I like it. I like it. Anytime we're coming in hot, I certainly like it. So, should be a interesting set of games. A couple Cinderella stories, but they've kind of turned into being pretty legit playoff teams. So, it is interesting that Tampa Bay team is kind of built for the playoffs. They got a good running back, and then their run defense. If you can stop the run in the playoffs, it's definitely key, especially if you can force a big turnover. So hopefully that happens because I got them as my defense this week.
100%, and that's kind of why I like Tampa Bay so much in this one, because they're so good at stopping the run. And this Detroit offense, man, like when it runs on schedule, when they can run the ball on you and then play action pass or just straight drop back after that's when they're at their most dangerous, and they kind of get like a snowball rolling downhill, and they're really good. So definitely credit to them for that. But I think if Tampa can stop the run with their front seven, I think it's going to create a lot more pressure on Jared Goff, who's had a really good solid season, but he's had a lot of help with him in the running department with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So if Tampa can take care of the run, I'm actually pretty confident in their ability to go into Detroit and get a win in divisional weekend. But that's what we got here for you folks here on this one. So relatively quick hitting episode. Let us know what you think here. We're on social media. Just to reset the table on that, we're on X at Sunday underscore Surefire, Instagram at Sunday Surefire. Make sure you're checking out those blog articles as well, sundaysurefire.com/blog. And until next time, folks, peace.